Thank you very much. And with that, we'll go to our discussant, Dr. Wolfgang Koenig, who's coming from Ulm, Germany today. He's going to follow up and present additional ideas about established methods for imaging atherosclerosis.
Well, Professor Stadiv has already very nicely set the stage, so I'll be fairly brief and just allude to a few points regarding IVUS, but more so with regard to IMT. Okay, now it works. These are my disclosures. Okay, obviously, I guess we all agree that vascular imaging enables the direct view of the atherosclerotic process in the arterial wall of vessels. And what we have just been discussing is that it can be employed as a surrogate marker of the status and progression of atherosclerosis prior to the occurrence of clinical events. I think that's what we are interested in. And it enables the assessment of treatment effects in controlled clinical trials. And that's probably what the session is about. Now, there are a number of vascular imaging technologies, and this part of the session is on IMT and IVUS. I think those are the two most frequently used in clinical trials compared to CTA and MRI, which we'll hear more about later. So first about IVUS, and I think I will only make two points. I think IVUS has been around for quite some time, and if you look at the compilation of statin trials, the point that these trials nicely make is they are in support of the lower the better hypothesis. If you go along from reversal to Saturn and to asteroid, you nicely can see that the more aggressive you are in terms of statin treatment, the better is the outcome in terms of the atherosclerotic process. And if you go down to Saturn and asteroid, which has been published last year, and you go below 80 milligrams per deciliter, you may not only halt the progress of atherosclerosis, but even regress the progress. And I think that's important mechanistic information if we are dealing with interventions and that kind in that particular situation. Statins. Now, other IVUS-derived modalities have been briefly mentioned, and I think one that's been used now also in a few trials, I think still this one is the only one that has been published so far. Patrick Serres has been the PI on the IBIS-2 study, which was a study that looked into the effect of daraplatib, which is an inhibitor of the lipoprotein-associated phospholipase A2 in about 300 subjects, half of them with ACS, half of them with stable coronary artery disease. And the idea was by giving this specific inhibitor, this is phospholipase, to prevent the generation of several pro-inflammatory, pro-athergenic products from the substrate of LPPL2, which is oxidized LDL in the vessel wall, and through this inhibition of pro-atherogenic products, limit the inflammatory process in the vessel wall and thus stabilize the core, for example. And this is just two different ways of assessing the necrotic core. And what you see here is in the placebo group. In the placebo group, there is an increase in the necrotic core, whereas there is a halt, not a regression, but a halt of the necrotic core in those under daraplatib. However, one has to mention that this study has been criticized because what you see here, or the signal you're seeing here, is coming from a key secondary endpoint, the primary endpoint, which was also an IVUS-derived parameter, palpography, and the second one was a biomarker, C-reactive protein, failed in that study. But I think we're getting more information through ongoing trials and in a number of IVUS trials that are currently underway. Besides the grayscale information, there's also a collection of data related to virtual histology. So I think we're getting more experience with this one and probably complementary information because, as you know, the composition of the plaque may be even more important for the clinical outcome than just the plaque size. So in summary, the IVUS allows accurate and I think really a reproducible assessment of the plaque burden in situ. However, it's an invasive technique, and although IVUS is arguably the most direct way of assessing the effect of anti-atherosclerotic therapies on plaque burden, its predictive value, I mean, data, there's increasing data, but still would like to see more that relate changes in plaque burden to future cardiovascular events. Now, with regard to IMT, I think it's fairly well established to do carotid ultrasound in the clinical practice. In that case, when we only look at IMT, it's also something that's not very new. The intermediate complex has been described by Pignoli, I guess, more than 20 years ago, and they call it the Pignoli line. And then still, after 20 years, there's at least some debate whether or not this is really a part of the atherosclerotic process. It's kind of a pre-atherosclerotic phenomenon, so it's not quite clear. But what you can do here, and there are established protocols around in when you have experienced observers and using standardized protocol, you really get a direct in vivo measurement of the thickness of carotid artery by VMOT ultrasound, and you have high resolution devices available. I think there's still some discussion. Are you doing both carotid arteries? Which segments are you doing? Are you just looking at the bifurcation above and below? Professor Tardif has already alluded to a new technology, namely looking into the three-dimensional carotid ultrasound, and I think there is a great potential in that, and maybe some of the controversies that we'll still have, and I go to that in a minute, may be resolved looking into the 3D measurement. Now, there's a bunch of studies published over the years. This is just three of them. Two are observational studies, one is an interventional study, and in these studies there was a clear association between the delta in CIMT and risk of MI, and some of them also in stroke. However, you have to consider that the disadvantage is certainly this method is operator dependent, and there's there are certain problems with regard to reproducibility, because you really have to come up with a reproducible situation when you see the patient the next time, and this is not always easy. Now, based on the earlier data that's showing a fairly strong association between changes in intermedia thickness or increased intermedia thickness and baseline and outcome, the ACCF and AHA guidelines have made it a class 2 indication for its measurement in those at intermediate risk for improved risk stratification. However, most recently we have seen, I guess, three or four meta-analyses that do question the traditional way of analyzing intermediate thickness, and this is not related to the 3D approach. For this, I think Val Foster recently has presented or published nice data from the high-risk plaque study, where he clearly could show that this method is superior to what we have seen so far. And in this study by Lorenz, published 2 years ago, the conclusion is that despite IMT being predictive for cardiovascular events, it did not consistently improve the risk classification. This is not the clinical trial situation. This is the risk stratification situation, so to say, in the primary prevention. However, there was also a meta-analysis that looked into the question, does carotid intima media thickness regression predict reduction of cardiovascular events? So, what you see here in terms of the conclusion is, and this certainly was based on large numbers, as you can see here, 41 trials enrolling more than 18,000 participants, and the conclusion here was that regression or slowed progression of carotid IMT induced by cardiovascular therapy do not reflect reduction in cardiovascular events. So there's still some controversy which may be resolved with improvement in techniques, and I still think the 3D approach is something very promising. And there was another a meta-analysis that was published recently in Lancet, and this showed more or less the same thing, namely in primary prevention, there was no association between IMT progression based on two consecutive scans with variable time in between and CV risk in the general population. And the authors further concluded that the IMT progression as a surrogate in clinical trials is questionable. So the point I want to make here is there's still some debate on the value of IMT, which is, I think, more pronounced than for IVUS. However, if you look into other studies, and this is a large French study in about 6,000 subjects, also, in this study, there was also no association between IMT and coronary heart disease risk. There was a very strong association between the presence of plaque, and we also may learn more in the future by assessing more detail plaque surface, for example, and plaque morphology. There's even kind of a virtual histology method in development right now using transcutaneous ultrasound. We'll see how that works in the future. And this is most recent data from Framingham that presents some results which are in between, because the conclusions of that fairly large study in about 3,000 subjects was that only the maximum IMT, not mean maximum IMT, and the presence of plaque in the internal carotid artery, not external and also not the common, significantly improved risk classification. So there was just one localization that was associated, or IMT in one localization was associated with outcome. So it's going a little bit back and forth in terms of the findings in the literature. And in summary then, I think IMT measurements is a non-invasive procedure. That's the big advantage compared to IVUS. It allows the observation of the arterial wall from birth to old age as a continuous variable in both unaffected and affected patients. Multiple measurements are easily possible. However, there may be biases and there may be issues with regard to repeatability and reproducibility. And the disadvantage, obviously, here is that it's gain-dependent. Plaque morphology is difficult to assess, also it would be very interesting. And this is the final point. The association with atherosclerosis, based on these recent meta-analysis, is still not firmly settled. So with this, I'm done. Thank you very much.
We have time for one or two questions.
You spoke very nicely about the use of IMT for clinical prediction. Can you, Dr. Tardif, maybe comment on IVUS? Has it been used to risk stratify patients in a clinical fashion at all? And would that even be possible?
Well, IVUS is used clinically, but for very specific indications. And not for the in the setting or scenario where you're describing. IVUS is used sometimes when you have doubts about the severity of left main stenosis and deciding whether you want to send patients for CABG surgery or not. Sometimes, and this has evolved, the indications of IVUS have evolved over the years. But so the clinical indications of IVUS, in my opinion, are for the better evaluation of left main stenosis. Patients coming back with stent thrombosis, where you're not sure what you're faced with, you know, whether it's an under-deployed stent or whether it's something else. And whenever, generally speaking, that you're not certain in a cath lab what you're looking at, you know, an ambiguous lesion, stenosis at a bifurcation, typically that would be grounds to do IVUS. So we use it commonly on a daily basis, but not for risk stratification. The final thing, we could have a debate when you're faced with a stenosis whether you should do a functional assessment with FFR versus anatomical assessment, but that's probably not for today.
Yes, it's as a question of pledge to Jean-Claude. In Modify, do you plan to have any long-term follow-up of your participants beyond the planned duration of the trial? I don't think we have any data, either from clinical trial or for all the cohort studies we're doing at NIH where I've imaging, where we compare several imaging techniques to assess their respective value and whether or not one would be a better predictor of events.
So just before going to Modify, in the Kane/Dalplaque II study, what we have is 1,500 patients with serial QCA, serial IVUS, serial VH, serial 2D and 3D carotid imaging at up to 2 years, and 5-year outcomes that we have. In Modify right now, what we're planning is 18 months of treatment over standard of care with at baseline and follow-up QCA, IVUS, VH, OCT. But for the time being, no, we have not planned a 5-year long-term extension clinical follow-up. But there are people in the room that may have heard what you said and may be influenced by what you just said.
Thank you very much.